Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello. Matthew, I think Chris Ello's there. I don't see his...
Come on, Matthew Scraby.
Oh, there he is.
There he is. Oh, boy.
Chris Ello, Matt Scraby, another edition of Gwynn and Chris. Well, I think because last night ended so well, personally, I think we should start with the bad stuff first.
All right. Let's get it out of the way.
Rip off that Band-Aid.
Let's rip it off. Yesterday, we showed up to... Yesterday, you know, I'm not going to lie, I kind of felt like I was Woj for a little bit. Because
yeah, you were breaking news to us,
I was down there sending tweets out. Yeah, in the I didn't do any tweets, so I guess
Chris
can't be
woke. Chris gets confused between text and tweets.
Yeah, I do. I'm still trying to figure out all that.
He does, but I'm sitting in. I'm listening to Mike Schilt. You know, meander through having to tell all of us that Fernando's going on the IL. Not going to make his next start. The different roster moves that had to also be made because of the move. And then he explained a bit, you know, Toddy's quad issue is actually of the bone. And they're going to give it some rest. And it sounded like rest meant, at the very least, maybe before the All-Star break, more likely after the All-Star break. So that wasn't the best news. And so, you know, typically when that kind of stuff comes, you hear what all teams always say, right? They parrot the next man up phrase, and, you know, the schedule just keeps rolling, and it does, all things true. But that definitely wasn't a great start to the day, Chris.
No, and here's how Tony Gwynn Jr. gave us the lowdown with a text, not a tweet. And here's what he wrote, Scrabe. Toddy is heading to the DL. Brito and Azekar down. Rosario, Johnson, and Mazur up. That is using the fewest amount of words possible.
I think that's Jeff
Passan to say the most.
Yes.
And that is exactly how it's to be done, my friend. When I learned how to sports write, I was lucky enough to learn under a guy by the name of Dave Distel. And we've talked about him before on the show. He was the San Diego editor, sports editor of the LA Times. He gave the Big A its name when he covered the Angels in Orange County. Then he came to San Diego. He gave Air Coryell its name. And he was really a fabulous guy. And rest in peace, Dave. Fantastic writer. But he used to always teach me that your goal is to say the most in the fewest amount of words. And I always tried to do that. And you did that yesterday, Tony, by, I think, one, two, three, about 11 words here. You got five transactions in.
That's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
Thank you, sir.
But you're
Thank
right. It wasn't great news. I mean, you know, Fernando going down, and we were hesitant here. As some of the reports kept coming in from different places, Annie was saying so, Kevin Acey was saying so, that it was looking like it might be after the All-Star break. Scraby and I, you know, didn't want to press that too much because we were thinking, you know, he hadn't actually spoken at that time. And, you know, we didn't want to get everybody in a complete panic. But then when Fernando did talk, and he says, quote, "It's a huge gap. I don't want to put it out there because people are going to expect stuff, but it's going to be some time. We know what the right, you know, stuff we're trying to aim after the All-Star game, but we're talking about something serious in my bone, in my right leg." So, you know, now I'm starting to think that even right after the All-Star break might even be wishful thinking. But, you know, the good news is this team... And Jackson Merrill said it after his big game the other day. And Jerkson Profar said it after his big hit last night. This team, Tony, is full of a bunch of ballers.
Yeah.
And, you know, they keep finding ways to win. I know that, you know, we've gone over the thing about being 500 and this, that, and the other. But that's four walk-off wins in the last seven games at home. First of all, it's exciting. It's fun baseball to watch, just if you're
a
fan.
It really
you're getting
is.
To enjoy some great games. But secondly, It's one thing to say, oh, yeah, we have a never-say-die attitude. I think everybody thinks they have that, but you actually go out and prove it. You know, this Padre team has proven it time and time again that they can, you know, find a way back and win these games. So that's a feather in their cap. And to Jerks and Profar, I mean, second-guessing is not fair. Dave Martinez had a decision to make. Luis Arraez is one of the best hitters in baseball the last 3-4 years. I don't blame him for walking Arraez. But as soon as Jerkson came up, and you know he's 0-for-4 last night, he's popping the ball up, etc. But Tony, it has been his magical season, and I just thought, man, they're really playing with fire to give him a shot here. And he burned him, and you know, it's another magic moment for Profar and the Padres.
Yeah, you probably only get to that by being a Padre fan, you know, because ultimately Dave is managing in the moment, and he's watched those previous at-bats, and Arraez had already hit 2 bullets right off the lefty-on-lefty matchup earlier in that game. So I think, I think there are probably about 28 other managers that would have done the same, but on the flip side, you're right, Jerkson is, you know, been that dude all year long, with patella tendonitis or not, he finds a way to get it. I was so happy he stopped running. He was like, I'm not finishing this run to second base.
Not only that, Tony, when they started to jump on top of him, I was like, get away from him, please.
Leave
him
alone.
The last thing we need is an Edwin Diaz right here in the middle of the field.
To your point, though, about this team, right? They have at this point, you got to believe that that's part of their DNA. Because whether it's actual games that they've done that, or whether it's the fact that they'll lose 5 straight and then turn around and win 4 straight, 4 out of 5, 5 out of 6, that to me is also kind of proving the same point, right? Like, you know, a lot of teams they lose 5 straight, 6 straight. And that'll kind of bleed into bad baseball, right? Maybe they lose, they lose 2 out of their next 4. You know, and it kind of trickles down. The Padres have answered every one of their losing streaks with a big winning streak to follow, and it's a resilient bunch. Now, that being said, trying to figure out a way to continue to be this, when you are now starting to miss multiple pieces over a long stretch of time, at least, I mean, long stretch meaning all-star breakish, right? So we're talking 2.5-3 weeks, right?
Probably so.
At least.
Yeah.
That's a bigger task. You're kind of doing it in like increments, right? You're doing it quite a bit with your pitching staff. You've been able to plug those holes to some degree. Offensively, you've pretty much had everybody out there. Manny's been banged up, covered from the elbow, hip flexor, quad for Toddy, Patel. But they all have been in there. Now you're actually removing that piece out of the lineup. And so that's a little bit of a different task. But Profar's still swinging the bat well. Manny's heating up. So it's like, if there is a time for somebody, because this happened last time, right? Manny went out, Toddy heated up, and it kind of like supplemented the offense. Now, Toddy's going to go out, Manny's heating up, and now you hope that he can supplement, because those are type of dudes we talked about. They can carry offenses at time, you know? So that's kind of, I guess if you're going to lose Toddy, this is a good time to be losing them because Manny's starting to heat up.
Well, I said it a couple of weeks ago that I felt like they were going to have to tread water for a while because you go without your top 2 pitchers in your rotation. And I know Darvish and Musgrove haven't necessarily pitched like that, but they still are numbers 1 and 2 in the rotation. And
right.
You take them out, you've already got Bogarts out, now you've got Fernando out. That's 4 of your 5 $30 million ball players, none of whom are even lacing them up right now. That is a challenge. I challenge the Yankees to try it. Take 4 of their 5 away. Take the 4 or 5 away from the Orioles. Take, you know, Henderson and Rutschman and
I don't know that there's a team deep enough in baseball to just take five guys out.
So, and that's kind of what the Padres are dealing with right now. And, you know, you mentioned the guys that are coming through. I mean, you know, look, Higashioka's kind of, you know, has a renaissance here. And big
no
hit
doubt.
Last night. And, you know, Merrill just continues to be the last guy you want to face with some runners on. And, you know, they're almost making me believe that they can survive the next 2.5 weeks without Fernando and Bogarts and all these pitchers. You know, I don't know if they can. But, you know, magic wins like this, magic wins like 3 straight walk-off homer games, you know, that goes a long way. Remember, they won 9 games by 1 run last year, the whole year. This year they've won 10 already.
Here's the deal, though, and we saw this, I feel like it was in, 22? When you start to win games like this, you start to believe that you own these type of games. Like
it
starts to become a belief thing, and it doesn't really matter who it is and who's in the lineup in those situations. You know, if you're close, somebody's going to come through. If you start doing this enough, Padres went from they had 2 walk-offs all last year, and one came really early, one came like end of the season.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, we were waiting all year for a walk-off.
Right. So
now we can't get enough of them.
Now we're living in it right now. And this is I still am cautious because of the length of time they got to try to carry this. But to this point, man, it's been pretty good.
Yeah, another thumbs up for Matt Waldron.
Can we talk about that?
Did you see this, Tony? There's only 4 other Padres in history that have had 9 straight starts of allowing 2 or fewer runs. And he's now the 5th to do that. Man. That's how hot this guy is. So he gives you another big game. You know, the bullpen, I mean, De Los Santos, he gets guys out, but he just keeps giving up these home runs. And that's something he's going to have to figure out. You know, and you think, and everybody thought, when Senzel hits that ball out, you know, it's time to probably pack up and get out of here.
I'm not going
to
lie. Where I was watching the game.
You know, it is. And then he makes
Shame
a catch in foul territory. But, you know, I just had the feeling the Padres came in the dugout and said, you know what, all we got to do is get one guy on and the tying run comes to the plate. That seems to be their attitude. And Solano, you know, rips a double. Just like that, the tying run was at the plate. And, you know, they came through. And Merrill came through. And, Profar, I can't say enough. Could you please explain to me, since you told me, explain to your son, Trey, how Profar hit that ball 380 feet, Tony, because he was fooled on the pitch, really.
It was a split. It was diving kind of down and away. And, you know, my man Harvey throws hard. He's like 99. So, you know, you're getting ready for the heater. And sometimes, you know, in anticipation, your body can get forward, right? You know, the idea is when your foot lands and you're in the hitting position that you're like, you know, somewhere close to 50-50. You don't want to have your weight forward. And so what could happen when you're anticipating a fastball and it's something slower, you end up kind of leaking forward. But in this case, his hands stayed back. And so he still had, you know, the kind of momentum he's generated going forward, but his hands stayed back, and that gave him something to hit that ball. Now, it also had to do with where the defenders were playing. If I'm not mistaken, I think let me pull my little score sheet up real quick. Thomas was in right.
Yeah, Lane Thomas was in right.
He was playing straight up in right, and the center fielder was playing towards left center. So he hit it in the perfect spot. And, you know.
Yeah, those guys had no chance to get to the ball.
Thomas didn't come close.
No, he really didn't.
And
all he could do is shake his head.
I also think he was a little bit shallow. You know, because he was trying to maybe cut down the guy from second scoring on a base hit. And Jerickson hit it in the right spot.
Which he's been doing all year.
Yeah.
I mean, he just does. You know, when Christian Yelich loses a ball in the lights, it's on a ball that Profar hits.
Yeah. No,
it's just one of those years.
No doubt.
That's all I'm saying. That's why I would have faced Arise. I'm glad they didn't. And, you know, Arise could have got a hit. We don't know. But I really felt when Profar came up, something, you know, magical was about to happen again. And, you know, I was excited that he did it. The fans went crazy. And this is great, fun baseball. I mean, we're having so many. How many already, you know, storybook games have there been? And we're at the midway point. You know, there's still 3.5 months to go. You hope that you get some more and you ride this magic a little longer. So it was sweet. Sweet. Good start to the series.
All right. That's a good start to the show. Let's get to break. When we come back, more Gwen and Chris on the other side.
All right. Welcome back. We are underway. Following a thrilling Padre victory last night, 7-6 in 10 over the Washington Nationals. Shame on you, Scott. My golfing partner, Scott.
Wow.
First tee today, came up to me and said, man, tough loss for the Padres last night.
Oh wow.
Yeah, he did.
Your boy went to sleep early.
Wow. You have to know the result to make sure.
6-3. That's what he saw.
Did you play
into
it?
He tried to have small talk before the first hole, and it backfired.
Yeah, then he hit into the rough. No, I don't know if he hit into the rough.
Did you play into it? Like, I know, it was a tough loss.
It was tough until Profar came up with that hit. This hour on 97.3 The Fan, brought to you by the San Diego County Fair. Let's go retro at the San Diego County Fair. It's now through July 7th. The Magic of the Midway, live concerts, and a nostalgic celebration of fashion, culture, and more. Buy your tickets now online. Learn more on what's happening at sdfair.com. That's sdfair.com. Also last night, a lot of things happened, but my worst fears came true, Tony. Our former guy, C.J. Abrams, had a big night, 3 hits. And it seemed like every time Joey Meneses came up, C.J. Abrams was on base, and it seemed like every time Meneses drove him in. As a matter of fact, he did 3 times.
Yep.
And that tied the game up. We got Mackenzie Gore pitching tonight. So, obviously, you know, the Juan Soto trade still lingers in the minds of fans, and we're going to talk about that with Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post. Get the Nationals' side of that deal. See how they're feeling about that. In this day and age, but we'll talk about the Nats a little bit with him coming up in this hour. Also, a little bit later on, another rendition of the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Chance for Scraby and Tony to go head to head. Chance for you to play along and have some fun in the 3 o'clock hour. Of course, Yu Darvish was supposed to pitch tonight, Tony, but along with the news that Fernando was going on the injured list came the information that Darvish was not coming off the injured list. And so Adam Mazur will make the start in his place. Again, we don't know a whole lot more other than to say there was some more inflammation in the elbow. And you add this in, right, to, you know, Musgrove and Fernando and Bogarts. And it's a lot of star power that the Padres are having to do without right now. Yeah, I don't know what you do. You have to just go and measure and see what he's got. Again, he was a little bit better last time against Milwaukee, threw some more strikes. That's all I would tell him. Trust your stuff. Because he's got good stuff, doesn't he?
He's got great. He's got good stuff.
Yeah.
But he hasn't thrown it for strikes.
That's right.
You see it often at the big league level. You know, there's a – fear is probably too strong of a word, but – You're not completely sure, you know. It for a hitter, it's different, right? I mean, you're the one trying to hit the baseball. For a pitcher, if you are a little unsure, it kind of shows when you're up there, right? You're out of the zone. You're missing, because you know prior to him getting to big leagues, what we heard and what he had produced was a dude who didn't throw a lot of balls. He was in the zone a lot. But that hasn't been the case. But, you know, I think the way it should be looked at is here's another opportunity for him to prove that he belongs. He is fortunate to get this opportunity as quick as he is because someone got hurt. But this is how it works sometimes. And so he'll have a chance to come out. The Padres certainly are going to have to depend on. I think basically his clock is how long it takes Brito to get stretched out. Because if they don't see any improvement by the time they stretch Brito out, my guess is that they'll be flip-flopped.
Brito will start making some of these starts.
Brito will start making some of these starts. Or they'll at least give Brito the opportunity to see what he can do as a starter. But he's got to get stretched out. So what does that look like? That's my guess, 3-4 starts.
Let's hope that somehow Darvish can get back before that. But I don't, you know.
I mean,
I'm not going to think about that anymore. I'm just going to go with what you got rather than what we don't have.
I mean, we can think about it because ultimately, you know, we have a talk show, so we'll need it for some material. But that's how they'll think about it. They don't, you know, Darv's not there, Toddy's not there, so they can't worry about it. They got to get ready for the games, and so Major gets another opportunity today. But Brito is definitely going to get stretched out into being a starter. We'll see how long that takes. And you know, they've kind of been able to do that because, you know, Mordejón has turned into what he's turned into now. I mean, had Cronenworth made that play last night, it would have been Mordejón, Estrada, Suarez,
game over,
7-8-9.
Yeah.
And when you I've been on a team where we had a 7-8-9 and Gregerson, Adams, Bell, and it didn't matter that we were scoring like 3 runs a game. Because if we had 3 runs and you only had 2 and we got to the 7th inning, it was game over. And so, I mean, I don't know if the Padres are there yet with, I mean, but Mordejón has thrown the ball, I mean, in so many different roles, he's thrown the ball extremely well.
Do the Padres not see him as a starter anymore? Because I feel like he could be a starter, but they went with Brito instead.
He had success as a starter, but he also got hurt as a starter. And, you know, why mess with a good thing right now? I mean, this is as well as he's thrown the ball for a period of time that I can remember in his Padre career.
Typical baseball fan over here wanting more all the time.
You know what I would say to Adrian Mordejón if he wants to start? I would say, if you don't want to do the dishes, don't be good at doing the dishes. When your wife sends you in there for the first time, screw it up, break a couple of plates, and then you won't have to do the dishes anymore.
What about when your wife sticks forks down instead
of up? That's another subject. But my point here is that Mordejón has become too valuable in the relief role that he's in. So you can't take him out of there and make him a starter, which is probably what he would like. But he's too good at doing the dishes,
a heck of a season right
now. Yeah, he's doing a great job. Mackenzie Gore pitches tonight. It'll be fun watching him. Maybe a little anguish for a lot of people who, you know, were sorry to see him go in the Soto trade. He's 6-6. ERA is pretty good, Tone, 3.49. You know, he's had, I don't know, I want to say 7 of his last 9 outings, he was allowed 2 runs or less, maybe even better. Let me see. 9 out of 11, he's allowed 2 or less. So, you know, he's been on a pretty good run. And yeah, I almost made it through the first half hour of the show without mentioning the Padres still really can't hit left-handed pitching too well. They got 3 last night against Corbin, but then they went to sleep after that. So, you know, another challenge offensively. Try to put some runs up and help Major out tonight against Gore.
I don't care how many runs they score against lefties. As long as they have the lead,
that's all
that matters at the end of the day. They had the lead even with the lefty in there. They just
didn't
make the play. So,
yes, they did.
You know, now they got Gore. They know what it looks like. They faced him last year. You know what that win reminded me of last year? I don't know if you guys remember the win last year in D.C.
I do.
Who was the guy who hit the home run?
Was it Kim?
No. Come on, Rougned Odor.
That's right.
This was before Blake Snell started getting going. That game happened on my birthday. That's how I remember,
That win reminded me a little bit of like that. It's kind of like snatching the win from jaws of defeat right there.
Right, yes.
That's how I felt last night a little bit.
That was Rougned's contribution last year.
Man, I forgot all about that.
Come on, can't forget Rougie.
Rougie, is that what we call him?
I don't know what they call him.
I mean, I do know that Mike Schilt calls everyone with a Y at the end, like Wadey and Profi, things like that.
Like Tony.
Tony.
I call him Tony when he's
easy. Yeah, mine is easy.
Yeah.
All right, we'll step aside here. As mentioned, Spencer Nussbaum of the Washington Post on the Nationals. And, you know, I wonder if they...
That's a good one right here. 2:37 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matt Scraby. We'll be joined by our guests here. I'm not sure how to say his last name yet. Spencer, is it Nussbaum? We're going to find out here shortly.
Yes.
From Mr. Scraby before
Spencer
he comes on.
Spencer N.
Yeah, right? Yeah, Spencer N for now.
Spencer, Mr. Spencer, my man.
Yeah, my man, right. Padres back in action here today. They got today, tomorrow, and then they head to Boston where the schedule gets a little bit friendlier, if you will. Day off Thursday. Day off Monday in Texas.
There we go.
Come home. I believe there's a couple day offs in this nice home. This is the longest homestand I think we have of the season.
Oh, yeah. It goes. Yeah, you get back from Texas. It goes 3 against the Diamondbacks, day off Monday, 2 against the Mariners, day off Thursday, 3 against the Braves, then All-Star break.
The nice thing is the Padres have played more games than anybody.
They have.
So they have to have more off days left than everybody.
Good point.
Just my, you know, my trigonometry degree tells
trigonometry.
Me that.
Trigonometry degree.
I mean, it's simple math. Is it, simple math, is it not? They have less games and just as much time. So
I'll trust you.
Stands to reason that they'll have more days off.
Yeah. No, they definitely have more time coming off. And is that a good time, right? I mean, get some of these aches and pains to kind of calm down and give your bullpen a much-needed rest. So you're going to see, my guess is you're going to see Mike Shildt coach pretty hard through these next two to try to see if they can stack these two victories up, one or two next victories up, and then have that off day to kind of reset your bullpen. And in some ways, having Waldron get through six yesterday helps that tremendously. Having King get through six, even though it didn't end up being in the correct a result, that helps kind of get your bullpen back in order a little bit.
Yeah, and Suarez, we just kind of gloss over him, but you know, another clean inning last night. Just so happy with this guy and Estrada too.
Yeah.
So and you know the pen's taking a little shape. The only problem with all of this conversation, Tony, is we're happy that they won last night. We're happy, Brewers. But we've been happy like this before. And then something crappy happens for about 3 or 4 days. So
yeah, that crappiness is like 4 straight losses,
yeah,
is what you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. You know.
Hopefully that's not the case today.
Hopefully not this time.
Let's bring our guest on. Joining us on Gwynn and Chris, Washington Post Spencer Nussbaum joins us here. Spencer, how are you? Thank you for your time today.
I'm doing well. It's nice to be in San Diego.
It is. Very nice weather. Very nice weather right now. You're catching us at a good June. Usually June is a little gloomy during this time, but you're catching it. That's right. We get a chance to see a former Padre last night in C.J. Abrams put on a nice show. Mackenzie Gore going here for them tonight. What's been your take on CJ this year? He seems like he's covered a lot of ground from the time you guys got him till the player he's turning out to be now.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. When they got him from the Padres, I think he had like 2 home runs that year, and both were at the Padres. There wasn't a whole lot of power in his bat. You could see the skill was there, but he hadn't really come into his own as a player. These last 2 seasons, and especially you look at the second half of last year and the start of this season, it's like he's a whole new player. He started to find his groove middle of last year when Davey put him at the top of the lineup. And, you know, ever since then, he's talked about, you know, finding his confidence, finding his rhythm as a hitter. And, it was a little streaky in the sense that he got off to a really good April and had a slow May. But it feels like things are turning around in June. I think he has an OPS over 1,000. Like, you know, what he's been able to accomplish this season. And, you know, he might not be getting a whole lot of all-star votes, but he's kind of on the bubble as one of those, you know, becoming one of those premier shortstops in the league. So, it's been really cool to see his development over the past year or so.
Spencer, the trade in and itself, which happened in August of 2022, so we're coming up on almost 2 years. Josh Bell came here. He's obviously no longer here. Soto came here. He's no longer here. You mentioned Abrams, Mackenzie Gore, both still there. Luke Voit came and went. Jarlin Susana, James Wood, Robert Hassel III. I know Wood has made a lot of noise in the minors. How do the people in D.C. grade this trade now? And if you can go back, how were they grading it then as opposed to now?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. You look at the core of what Washington is right now, as you said, and I mean, it's you know, basically guys from that trade. CJ's their best position player at the moment. McKenzie, as far as stuff goes, results-wise, it's close, but he's, you know, potential-wise, their best pitcher. James Wood, one of the best prospects in baseball. And then you have those kind of lottery tickets in the minor leagues as well that you hope pan out. When you put all those things together, like, yes, the you know, D.C. loved Soto in a way that, you know, they've only loved a handful of athletes, especially ones who, you know, are now, you know, 25 or whatever it is at this moment. All of that being said, when you get that sort of haul and when you look at where the franchise is at right now, you know, I think that they can live with that. I think they see, you know, they weren't going to be anything without Soto. Or they weren't going to be anything with Soto and just Soto. And now they have a foundation to build upon. I think there's always going to be, you know, a collection of fans who are not going to love it. But when you think about where the team is at and the fact that, you know, they have a promising future largely because of those guys they got from the Padres, you know, that you can't complain too much, especially with, you know, how they produced.
No doubt about it. Spencer Nussbaum joins us here on Gwen and Chris. And Spencer, you know, aside from the Padre guys, this team is, I would say, has surprised some folks this year. I mean, they're playing close to .500 baseball. They're right behind the Padres for their last wild card spot as we speak. I mean, how has this team been able to do it? I mean, how has it seems like, at least from the outside looking in, that they've overachieved to this point. How have they done it?
Yeah, I think that's the assessment from everyone outside of the clubhouse, us included in the media. They weren't supposed to be here at this moment, and that is a huge, huge credit to their pitching. You know, they had a ERA as a staff and as a bullpen over 5 last year. This year, it's in the, you know, mid to high 3s. They've gotten great production out of Mackenzie Gore, Jake Irvin, Mitchell Parker, who is walking 5 guys per 9 in the minors this year, has thrown more strikes than almost anyone else in baseball as a rookie. Yes, Patrick Corbin has not been good, but his past 3 starts, he's been great.
Yeah.
It's really a credit to the pitching staff. They brought on Sean Doolittle in the offseason as the assistant pitching coach to pitching coach Jim Hickey, and those two have worked fantastically together. They've kind of, you know, added a more data-centric approach after being old school for a long, long time, and it really has been at the strength of their pitching. The offense, you know, guys have been up and down at different times, and they've never really been consistent for more than a week in a row, but just game after game after game, they're pitching the lights out.
Spencer, do you think the Nationals 5 weeks from now will try to pick up somebody and maybe use, you know, some of these minor league guys that they have to try to get a little bit better, make a run? Or is the fact that they're ahead of schedule maybe going to keep them from, you know, make them kind of resist the temptation to do it?
Yeah, I think they're going to lean on resisting in the sense that you don't really want to let good be the enemy of great with where you're at. I think this team has overachieved, and if you look at the talent on the roster, it doesn't necessarily scream a team that can make the playoffs year after year after year. That said, the guys in the minors, James Wood, Dylan Cruz, you know, both top 10 prospects in baseball, those are guys who can kind of shepherd a team into the playoffs. And even with trading your depth pieces, you don't want to give up on, you know, a lottery ticket. And in the past few years, one thing that general manager Mike Rizzo has done really, really well is flipping those veterans for core pieces. You know, they got Lane Thomas for John Lester. They you know, have picked up pieces on the fringes. They have a new pitcher, DJ Hurst, who was flipped for Candelario this year and has looked really good. I think they're going to still stick with that path. Maybe, you know, trade guys like Jesse Winker, and then you float around if some of the pieces in the bullpen are, you know, available as well. But I don't see them as buyers just yet.
Not buyers. You mentioned, you know, some of the pieces that they have. A Winker's having a pretty good season. I know there was talk that Lane Thomas was a guy last year come deadline time. Are those the type of pieces you expect to be moved come deadline time?
Yeah, I think that Riz is really selective with those sort of players. You know, last year he mentioned he views Lane Thomas as a foundational piece, and other teams were not viewing him as that. That being said, you look at, again, the depth that they have in their outfield, especially in the minor leagues, and it'd be hard to say that he's not going to at least shop Thomas around a little bit, in the sense that, you know, you only have so much time left on his contract. You have, again, like these guys coming up soon. So I think that, you know, he'll take calls, but, I think it's more likely than not that Lane Thomas is a Washington National for the rest of the season. That being said, I don't know how much higher that percent chance is over 50%.
Spencer, I want to ask you about our guy from San Diego, San Diego State, Aztec for life, Steven Strasburg. Now that he's a couple of years removed from how things ended for him there in D.C., did he build up enough cachet as a World Series hero and have enough of a career to always be admired and loved in Washington, D.C.? Or does the fact that he got hurt and never really was able to live up to that last contract detract from Steven Strasburg in the minds of D.C. fans?
Yeah, I think there's always going to be a select group of people who are going to view Strasburg in that sort of light. But you talk to people in D.C., you look at how people interact when conversations about Strasburg are brought up, and really at this point, it's all love at this point. Like, what he did for the franchise, you know, they were year after year after year getting in the postseason, couldn't get it done. Before he got there, they really weren't very relevant as a franchise. He arrives in Washington and brings something special and obviously, you know, breaks his body down in order to win, you know, a World Series in 2019. That, you know, that, you can't tell me that doesn't contribute. All those innings he pitched that year, I think leading the league in innings pitched, pitching all those innings in the postseason and winning one for D.C., like, yes, there are going to be people who talk about the contract. And, you know, I don't want to say rightfully so, but obviously that's on the front of mind when you get all that money. But he got that money because of what he did. Unfortunately, not for what he, you know, lived up to after the contract. But he did everything his body could to get back. And, you know, just with the type of injury it was with TOS, he couldn't get back on. And I think that people in Washington understand that, and they understand what he tried to do to get back in it.
Last one for me, Spencer. Mike Rizzo, one of my favorite GMs in this game, still at the helm with the Nationals. Where is this organization in terms of the team selling and you know, some of that business that has been going on? Is that something that's still up?
Are you talking about with ownership?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the Learners have said that they're not selling. That being said, Ted Leonsis, who owns a bunch of the other pro franchises in D.C., you know, the Wizards and whatnot, he is seemingly chimed into radio stations every month or so and said, look, you know, I'm willing to buy this team if it's put up. So, you know, they said that they're not selling for now. They took it off. But would I be surprised to see different ownership in a year, especially with, you know, maybe the market rising on the Nationals with how their future has looked this season? I wouldn't be surprised. But at the moment, the Learners have still said that they're not selling.
I only brought up Rizzo because I know there was some discussion in terms of his extension and being with that organization a little bit longer. It sounds like they're not selling it at this point. So hopefully that he gets to stay longer.
Yeah, I mean, he's done a pretty good. Things are looking pretty good right now.
Yeah.
Kind of an extension of that for me to finish things up. You know, I don't know that everyone out there understands the history of baseball in the nation's capital. I mean, you got to go back 100 years. The Washington Senators won a World Series in 1925. They eventually became the Minnesota Twins. Then the Senators came back, and they became the Texas Rangers. Now it's been 20 years since the Nationals started. The Expos turned into the Nationals. Is baseball finally settled in D.C. forever, you think?
I would have to think so at this point. It doesn't look like they're moving. You know, you read things from 2005 to 2010, and there was interest in the team, but it really wasn't where it's at right now, in the sense that people wanted a team, but they also want a team that looks good. And, you know, for a long time, they waited. And, I would be shocked if in the next 20, 30 years we hear anything about a team moving out of D.C.
Well, Spencer, enjoy your stay in sunny San Diego. We certainly appreciate your time coming on and hanging with us.
Perfect. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Spencer.
Spencer Nussbaum joins us. Washington Post. Joins us, Darren, Gwynn, and Chris. Good conversation talking about the Nationals, some of the Padre pieces that are now Nationals. And now let's see if the Padres can win a series here tonight.
Yeah. Tonight.
I was happy to hear that Strasburg gets mostly love, which he deserves. I know the money probably rankled some people because he wasn't able to play that contract, but the Washington Nationals franchise would not be what it is without
They wouldn't
what
have
Strasburg
that World
did.
Series either.
No, they wouldn't even. I think, and Spencer didn't say this, but he arrived on the scene. That franchise was, you know, probably on the verge of not even being there anymore. But he comes in, Bryce Harper comes in. All of a sudden, they're going to the playoffs every year. And then Strassi takes them to the World Series. Look, if one person did that in San Diego, I mean, look how revered.
I don't know, Chris.
What, if we won one World Series here?
I don't know.
If there were, are you kidding me?
See, you don't know because we've never won a championship.
True. But yes. if a player led us to the title?
It seems like it's intoxicating. Like
it does.
It seems like if you win a title, you no longer can do wrong in terms of the fans. Now, the team, they get sour on you real quick, but you win a World Series, man. It's like a 4-year haze. You just are just in it. That's what it seems like from the outside looking in. I've never actually experienced it either.
Think about how you think, Scraby, yourself and others think about Joe Musgrove. Just being a hometown guy who beat the Mets, threw a no-hitter.
Oh, I thought you were throwing me under the bus for some reason.
No, we love Joe Musgrove. We're always going to revere Joe Musgrove here. Just think if he wins two games in the World Series one year.
Oh, my God.
I mean, he's already kind of done it with the start against the Mets in the wild card.
No, but that's what Chris is saying, though.
That's what I'm saying. This is a whole other level.
He did that with two World Series wins? Are you kidding me?
You're right.
It's over.
You're right. I'm sorry.
All right. Stop yelling. 3 o'clock hour on the way. You hear the music. That means Daily Gambit on the other side. We're going to Chris.